Hello and welcome to my first ever podcast episode. So today I will be reading to you a chapter from my first book, I'm Just Sitting on a Fence, and the chapter is called Room in the Hot Tub. After I read the chapter, I will discuss my thoughts about it with you, as well as telling you some about the road trip that it describes. And then I will tell you about the future of the podcast. And so let's just jump right into the chapter, Room in the Hot Tub. Here we go. Room in the Hot Tub, a lesson on persistence. Eventually, music loses its flair when you're driving solo across the country. By the time I reached Miami, I was dead tired of the car and ready to stretch my legs. I parked in a garage about a block away from the hostel, walked the block, checked in, put away my bags, and went back downstairs to see if there was anyone around to listen to my day's story. There were plenty of people around. I approached a Latin man who appeared to be about 40 and said, "Hi, where are you from?" He was from Miami and was the owner of this hostel. He seemed friendly, so I told him, "I actually just got my first speeding ticket when I was driving here." He nodded, and in his eye I detected something like reproof, but I continued. "I was just going 5 over, and I wasn't even meaning to. Actually, I was crying when the police officer came to my window, but he still gave me the ticket." "You shouldn't have been speeding," the man said. I didn't know how to reply to that. He clearly wasn't on my side. Instead of writing him off as unfriendly, though, I assumed he must have had some bad history with a speeding driver, and I just nodded my head and left. I walked from the lobby to the courtyard, where there were 20 or so people hanging out, talking. The hot tub caught my eye. After the long day driving, that's where I'd rest my bones. And in the tub was a young man and a young woman, two youths that certainly listened to my story and possibly share a few of their own. Maybe we'd even play some cards after talking, if we bonded enough. I went upstairs and changed into my bathing suit. I fixed my hair in the mirror, brushed my teeth so clean that they almost bled, grabbed my towel, and returned to the courtyard, where there were 3 additional people now in the tub. It was a small tub, and 6 people would be a tight squeeze. I wandered over towards it and lingered around the outside, a few feet away, listening to their conversation. All 3 of the guys in the tub had British or Australian accents. One had blonde surfer hair and whiskers, one was African-American but with an accent, and the other had a thin, pale body with short brown hair. There was a girl and a blonde with blonde hair and a green bathing suit next to that one, and the other girl was a brunette with a charming face and a white bathing suit, and she was sitting beside the guy with blonde surfer hair. The content of their conversation made them seem like young, hip partiers, and that was all right with me. "I'm just going to rest my towel right here, if that's all right," I said as I laid my towel on the outer ledge of the tub. They looked up at me, 2 of those guys nodded that it was all right, and they continued their conversation. I sat on the ledge next to my towel and turned my body towards them a little so that I could eventually work my way into the conversation. But I could find no openings, and so I just singled out the brown-haired guy and asked him where he was from. "Australia." I told him I was from the US and asked about his trip. Then I asked the African-American guy where he was from. "The UK, indeed." I repeated that I was from the US, and then I turned all the way towards the group so that I could put my legs in the water. When I did this, all of them were looking at me, so I asked, "Do you want to hear about a speeding ticket I got today?" They said sure, with a good amount of enthusiasm. "Well, this morning when I was driving here, I got pulled over for going 75, and I was in a 70, but I wasn't even trying to. Like, I always just hit cruise control at the speed limit, so it was actually an accident. And, when the cop pulled me over, I was actually crying because it was my first ticket, and he just asked for my license and registration and then went back to his car. So when he was at his car, I drove away because I didn't realize I was supposed to get them back. I was just thinking, well, I guess I got my first ticket." They seemed to be interested in what I was saying, but at the same time, I couldn't tell for sure if they really were. I continued. "Well, then I see that he's driving in my rearview mirror again. I see the lights and I thought, wow, that was fast. He's already got another call. Because I thought he was going after someone else, but he continues to drive behind me, and he won't even pass me, and even though everyone else is driving the same speed as me, so I just rolled down my window and started waving for him to go around, but he wouldn't go around me." Although they tried to hide it, I could now see that they were definitely losing interest a little, even though I was getting to the best part. Still, I continued. "So then I pulled back over, and he told me that in all his years, he'd never seen someone drive off without their license. So he gave me the ticket, and now I've just got to pay like $100, I think." "Aw, that sucks," said the blonde guy. "Yeah," I agreed. And then they were talking about something else. But at least I was still there with them, with my legs in the tub. As they talked, I was able to add an occasional comment, and my calves felt pretty nice soaking in the water. Slowly throughout the conversation, gradually, I slid my legs more and more into the water, until they were in to about the knees. Then I asked the girl in the green suit if she'd mind scooting over a little. She just said, and when I asked if she'd mind me sitting between her and the guy beside her, the one with the brown hair, the guy replied, "I don't think there's enough room, mate." Okay. The conversation continued. I was no longer listening. I was getting a little bored of not being fully in the water. "Do you mind just scooting over a little bit?" He looked back up. "There's really not enough room." And the girl agreed. "Yeah, sorry. We might be out soon, though." But the main idea was that I wanted to be in the tub with them at the same time. "Can I go right there in the middle?" I asked a bit timidly. "What do you mean?" "Maybe I'll just kneel in the middle," I said, and pointed towards the middle of the tub where their legs were resting, but where there'd still be just enough space for me to kneel. They still didn't know what I meant, so I demonstrated. I stepped over the girl and guy into the middle of the tub, yelling a little as my body dropped into the water since it nearly burned my waist and stomach off. And a second later, the brown-haired guy and the green bathing suit girl got up and left, and I was able to sit in their spot. The other three only stayed in for about 10 more minutes, but it was a good 10 minutes in which I had been able to participate a little more actively in the conversation, and my body became very relaxed from the water during that time. I stayed in for a little bit longer after they'd left, and then went to my room and watched Black Swan. This story provides me with a chance to speak on a quality I'm a big supporter of, persistence. Because I did not give up on sharing the story of my ticket after the hostel owner rebuked me, I came across the people in the hot tub, whom I was able to successfully share my story with. And then, when the people in the tub rejected my plea to join them, I did not turn away and leave. I waited patiently and then asked again. And upon being rejected the second time, I tried searching for a creative solution to the problem. The solution was to go into the middle of the tub, and even though it was imperfect, it ultimately worked out. Because then the other two left and there was room for me to sit in the tub for 10 nice minutes with the remaining three. Persistence means not giving up. Other scenarios in which persistence is beneficial. When dealing with bumps in relationships, when trying to convince people of something, when chasing a goal, when in a sticky situation, and when pursuing something. So there it is. That is the story Room in the Hot Tub from my first memoir, I'm Just Sitting on a Fence. So that story is quite interesting. I put it as the third story in my book. In retrospect, I feel like the lesson part of it, like the persistence lesson, was maybe a little forced because I was trying to write my memoir and tell stories about my life. And it was during a time when I was trying to learn how to write well for the first time. So I would just take stories that were interesting to me that express things I like and write them. And then sometimes I would come up with the lesson afterwards. Others were the opposite. I would come up with the lesson first and think like, oh, how can I do this self-help lesson? What's a story from my life that will teach this lesson well? And so that book has a lot of things like that where it's not perfect, like in retrospect. But I think that I wrote it well. I hope it sounded well when you heard it. And so now let me tell you a little more about that road trip. So that road trip happened, I can't remember the year exactly, but it must have been like 2011 or something, maybe like a year after I graduated high school. And I described it I write about the road trip a little bit, like briefly later in the book, and I describe it as a sort of during a little bit of a midlife crisis of mine. I don't remember why, but I was just stressing things, and I remember I even went solo skydiving, like with an instructor on my back, and that's the part I write about later in the book, how like I skydived and I almost fainted on the way down and like blacked out and couldn't even comprehend what was going on as like we just like flew through the air. As even as I describe it, it doesn't feel like a real memory. It feels like a dream, let me imagine it for a second. You're flying through the air towards the ground in the air, and it feels like I watched it on a video. It doesn't feel like it actually happened, but it did happen to me. And I completely blacked out, I was like pretty much completely blacked out, and I was worried I was gonna faint, and I was just like couldn't comprehend anything, and the instructor told me afterwards that I had been like yelling and trying to hold on to the sides of the plane so we couldn't get out, which I had no memory of. I did not remember that. So when he told me that, I was just like, oh my gosh. And then I drove. I felt a little weird because everyone else on the skydiving plane was all like professionals doing it by themselves. And then it was just me on this man's stomach, or he was on my back, or whatever. You have to get tied up or whatever. So that was that part of it. That was part of the road trip. Then the next part of the road trip was pretty cool, actually, because I went to a fruit farm in a part of Florida near the Everglades. Now, ooh, actually, I thought of another cool story. I have so many cool stories about this trip now that I'm talking about it. So there's this a fruit farm where you can go and try all these different fruits. Now, if you know about me, which I'm guessing you are because if you're listening to this podcast, you know that I do Smoothie Madness. Smoothie Madness is all about fruit and health, and I'm a big fruit fan. So to go to a tropical climate place like the Everglades in Florida, you all of a sudden are introduced to all these amazing exotic fruits. So I had some delicious fruits there. So that was really exciting. The black sapote was the best one. It's like chocolate pudding is what it tastes like. So then I went to the Salvador Dali Museum. And the Salvador Dali Museum was very cool because that's in Tampa Bay. If you don't know who Salvador Dali is, he's a surrealist painter, and I will read a little bit about him. So surrealism is where you paint things sort of like dreamlike. So Salvador Dali was born on 11th of May, 1904 at 8:45 a.m. on the first floor of Carrier Montoya, town of Figueres in Empira region, close to the French border of Catalonia, Spain. Dali's older brother. So I'm going to just read some brief stuff about Salvador Dali so that we have, but before I do that, let me tell you the other thing I remembered about Florida, because this I didn't have planned, but it sounds interesting. So I went to the Everglades National Park. I hiked deep into the park, and it got dark out. As I was hiking deep into the park, I heard someone saying about, oh yeah, this is the only place where pumas still exist, the only place where wild pumas roam free. So already you're thinking about that when you're going to this park. Then, at the entrance of the park, there are alligators. There are alligators and crocodiles, and you just see them roaming the ground freely, people walking next to them. So I walked deep into the park. Someone had given me a map at the hostel. And as I walked deep into the park, I'm like, wow, beautiful. It got dark. It actually got dark while, like, pitch black. Because there's no street lights there, you know, it's a national park. And it's not like an ascending hike sort of thing. You just kind of hike on parallel ground or, you know, flat ground. And as I ascend, or as I walk deeper into the park, it gets pitch black. So I had to walk all the way back for like an hour in pitch black darkness, and I just had a flip phone, so I used the flip phone as a light, and then I pulled out my car key as like a knife. Like I was just thinking, if a puma strikes, I'll stab it in the eye. That was my plan. Like those are the things that go through your head. And I remember these gigantic 6 or 10 foot wingspan hawks or vultures or whatever looming above me, the silhouettes of these dark vultures looming above me as I walked back down the trail, couldn't see anything, wondering if there were crocodiles ready to snap. And I was ready to defend myself. But I made it back safe. Then I continued on to Tampa Bay, where I came across the Salvador Dali Museum. So let's read a bit about Salvador Dali, and then we'll go on to call it a wrap, and go on to the future of the podcast. So Salvador Dali used a lot of symbolism in his artwork. He would often use food, he would use animals, he would use science. He was a surrealist painter who also did cubism. And not only did he paint, He did sculptures and other objects, including theater and film, fashion photography, literary works, architecture, and graphic art. He even did the Chupa Chu popsicle. But you can't talk about Salvador Dali without talking about his personality. If you don't know who I'm talking about, you will when I say, imagine a famous painter with a wild handlebar mustache that curls upwards. Now you can probably picture the surrealist painter Salvador Dali, and you might not have known the name, but that's who he is. But in the end, his legacy is that there are two major museums about him, the Dali Museum in Spain, and then the Dali Museum in St. Petersburg, Florida. So his life and work have been an important influence on pop art, other surrealists and contemporary artists such as Jeff Koons and Damien Hirst. He even has been portrayed by Robert Pattinson in the film Little Ashes and Adrien Brody in Midnight in Paris. The Salvador Dali Desert in Bolivia and the Dali Crater on the planet Mercury are named for him. So yeah, he's an excellent artist, one of my personal favorites. Last thing I'll say, if you don't know who I'm talking about, just imagine ticking clocks, melting ticking clocks. You've definitely seen this, so now you'll know who I'm talking about, who people are talking about next time they show you that painting. So, thank you so much for listening. As for the future of the podcast, this was just my first episode. We might in the future do some celebrity interviews, some more stories from books maybe. I could even read a full book sometime. The limit at this moment in these recording circumstances for an episode of my podcast is about an hour because I have to unplug my refrigerator to get rid of the sound of it humming on and off. And I don't want everything to go bad in the fridge. So probably can only go up to an hour for these. Within that restriction, we also will have more stories, unique profiles. I even imagine doing some journalism sort of stuff. Journalism such as like, oh, well, there's this really interesting and obscure thing that no one knows about that I'm going to give my take on. I'll do little interviews with different people and kind of make a little audio documentary. I think that would be the kind of highest pinnacle of like what this podcast could eventually be. And of course, Smoothie Madness behind the scenes. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this, and I'll see you on the next podcast, and make sure to watch my videos. Thank you. Have a great day.